It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Mary, and happy Easter.
Yeah, you too. There are some flower varieties that instantly make me smile. I don't know why, but this is one of them, sweet peas. Can you tell us how to grow some sweet peas?
Oh, it's a quintessential spring flower. It's a great English cottage garden plant, and people love sweet peas, mostly because we love the fragrance of them. And if you want to grow sweet peas, which they are very adapted to our Vermont climate, it's good to get the old-fashioned heirloom varieties like Old Spice, Miss Wilmot, America, Kupani. Those are ones that have the most intense fragrance. Most sweet peas will grow up 4 or 5 feet tall, so you want to have a real sturdy trellis or a fence for them to grow on. If you only have a little container, though, you can grow a variety called Cupid that only gets 8 to 10 inches tall. Kind of fun, huh? So growing sweet peas, you want to get them out there around the same time you're planting your garden peas because they want those cool temperatures to mature before it gets too hot. You want to find a place in full sun, well-drained soil, again, against some kind of trellis if you're growing the tall tops. And a key to get them to germinate fastest is to scar the seed overnight before you actually plant the next day. So take a nail file, go out there, and just take your seeds and just kind of scrape them a little bit, then soak them in warm water overnight. That will hasten the germination process so they'll be less likely to rot in the soil. Then the next day, plant them about 6 inches apart. You also can do some seed starting indoors because it's a little early right now to plant sweet pea seeds outside. But if you want to start the plants indoors, you do the same process, put them in little containers under light, and then maybe towards the end of the month, you can start moving them outside as little transplants. Once they start growing up, about 6 to 8 inches tall, pinch the tops. That way they're going to branch out a little bit and get a bushier plant with more flowers, and then just enjoy them. You know, mulch the bottoms of them, keep them well watered if it's dry, harvest the flowers in the morning for the best fragrance. And if you love the sweet peas, they're mostly annual flowers, you can grow a perennial version, but that one doesn't have the fragrance. It has a beautiful kind of lilac color to it, but does not have the fragrance to it. And just the last thing to remember is that sweet peas are in a different family than garden peas. They are not edible and they are poisonous, so don't go eating your sweet peas. But enjoy them all through the house, right through the spring.
Okay, here's a question from Allison in Hyde Park. Which seeds are better to start as transplants inside, directly sow, or both? We've purchased seeds from various greens, from mustard mix to crunch head, carrots, cilantro, zucchini, corn, bell peppers, butternut squash. Also, how early should you start your transplants before the last frost?
So, Allison, here's a quick little guide of what to plant when as far as your transplants goes for starting indoors. In early April, you should be starting your peppers and your eggplants right now. In another week or so, you can start your tomatoes. For things like cucumbers, squashes, pumpkins, those types of plants, I would wait till the end of the month to start those indoors. I like starting them inside so you put a transplant out around Memorial Day versus sowing them directly into the garden. And then also, if you have cool season vegetables like broccoli and cabbage and Brussels sprouts, those you want to start now because you want to get those out in early May. Of course, some of the things like cilantro and beans, you can just directly sow in the ground. So yes, there are some things you want to get going, and April is the month to start a lot of those plants indoors to move them out in May and June.
And Ralph in East Wenatchee, Washington, writes in with this question, how to deal with brown scale on our anthurium. Ralph says, I've tried washing them off with soap, hand washing each leaf, and garden hose sprayer. I also tried an organic plant spray in combination with washing. No improvement over just washing. They all beat the scale back, but the scale always returns with a vengeance. Anything that you can help Ralph with here?
Yeah, Ralph, scale is tough, especially on a houseplant, because once it gets established, it's hard to remove. You're doing all the good, right things, you know, washing them off. If you can flick the scale off, especially if it's a hard shell scale, which mostly brown scale is, just use your finger and just kind of flick them off the stems. That's one way to remove them. You can try rubbing alcohol, which usually is better on soft shell scale, but I would give it a try even on the brown scale too. Then you can also try things like horticultural oil and neem oil. Those would be other alternatives. You can always cut some of those things off. Anthurium is a pretty tough plant, so you can probably remove a bunch of stems, getting most of the scale off that way, and hopefully keeping it off the new growth as it regrows.
And Callie in Montpelier has some things to say about some moss. Callie says, I invite Charlie to read Robin Wall Kimmerer's Gathering Moss before he's quick to recommend that it be used as ground cover. It is beautiful and durable and truly beyond amazing. amazing, but it is, as with all things in nature, part of a complex ecology that, to my mind, Callie says, deserves respect.
Yeah, those are great points, Kaylee. You know, moss is something that in the right habitat will spread around, so you got to make sure you're putting it somewhere where you want to have it. And doing a little research about the best types of moss for your area is also good. So thank you very much for those comments.
Keep sending questions so Charlie can answer them at vpr.org. Search for All Things Gardening. Thanks as always, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And next week, we're going to be talking about critters that are eating your bulbs. You know, those crocuses and irises and things that are popping out of the ground. Let's talk about those. If you have those questions, send them to me. And until then, I'll be seeing you in the garden.